Today's show is brought to you in part by Beso.com. Beso.com, it's a style inspiration site that allows you to shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores. Beso.com.
This is Huell Hauser, and you're listening to Storyworthy with both ears. You can't see us. We're in your head.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Hopedale, Massachusetts. Why? It's the hometown of our guest, Dana Gould.
Hopetown, Massachusetts.
Hopedale, Massachusetts.
Hopedale.
Hopetown is the next one over, and then Hopeville is in the next county, and they have a big rivalry with the high school football.
It sounds so American, doesn't it?
It does, and it's funny. I was looking it up. Well, first of all, we're here, of course, in our mobile van.
Right.
We've driven across the country.
Right.
But originally on Wikipedia, where you get all of America's in misinformation, I found there are notable residents. Former Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
Sure.
And then three guys, I don't know who they are. And then it says Dana Gould, comedian, voice of Gex.
Wait a minute, that's
now,
his credit?
That's the credits. Now, first of all, comedian, I get, because once you're a comedian, you're always a comedian, because no matter, you're like, I don't have a show anymore, whatever, right. I'll go on the road. But voice of Gex is what they thought was the second most important thing that this guy, who has a resume a mile long.
Yeah, so blow past the Simpsons and blow
past.
Yeah,
the Simpsons, he was on Seinfeld. No, screw that. He's on Adam Carolla. No, voice of Gex, baby.
Wow.
So you know this was some like enormous nerd.
Wow. But you know, I could see the Aerosmith reference, because I'm from Pittsburgh.
That's what
and
I'm saying.
Rock
it's like you're
bands
not go
were like
Joe Perry.
Huge. And Aerosmith is from Boston. I think they're all from Boston, I think, the band. And so that would be a huge reference for Boston.
Yeah, no, exactly. But apparently voice of Gex, this guy's like,
I saw Aerosmith in 1982.
Really?
And they were so, and I'm so old.
I remember Jesus and I.
And they were so
I was a senior,
drunk,
he was a sophomore.
That they're yelling, you know, walk this way. And then they're putting the microphone out to the audience, you know, walk this way. And then they all just dropped their microphones and like, they just played their instruments and wouldn't sing.
And then they made the audience sing. So they're making, at this point, they're like, we're saving our voices for an audience we care
about.
We're
just horrible. All right, you guys, the reason why we're talking about Massachusetts is because, like Hannes said, our guest tonight is Dana Gould.
Woo!
And boy, are we excited about this guest, Hannes.
He's big time. He's big time show business.
He's a writer and a comedian and also a voiceover artist and an actor whose credits are immense, like you said, Hannes. So why are we talking? That's my question.
Because we really want to force people to wait. It doesn't work very well in podcasting because they can just skip ahead.
Right.
It's not like this is where we go up against broadcasting and lose. But we're going to pretend that our audience is so technologically unsophisticated.
They don't know how
to pull the thing forward.
Right.
And every time I try and do that, by the way, I go forward like an hour and a half.
That's because you're
and
using...
And then I come back and I go back to yesterday.
And
I
you're
can never
using
make
a
work.
Computer that is steam-powered, I believe.
That is right. It is a steampunk Mac that
You know, one of the things that makes Storyworthy original, Hannes, is it's not just a storytelling show. I mean, there's a lot of storytelling shows out there, am I right? But this storytelling show, here's the difference. First of all, the guest brings the topic. So I'm not like telling them they have to talk about anything.
Right. They can talk about anything. And when they talk, we shut up.
Well, we hope to.
Well, we shut up.
Tonight, the theme that Dana Gould has brought forth is how I became friends with Piggy Demon. So I say to myself, Piggy Demon.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I say that. And then I say Piggy Demon. And I think Amityville Horror, because as I remember, the little girl saw a pig that was a devil.
Right, and I Googled Piggy Demon and came up with many, many painting variations on it and went, I'm so unhip, this is all going to be a surprise to me.
So we don't know what Dana Gould has to talk about.
We don't know what in the world's going on, but why should we? He's Dana Gould. He's the voice of Gex. How can we even understand the way he thinks? Voice of Gex, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, stay tuned because Dana Gould is on his way here.
Hey, this is Annabelle Gurwitch, and this is Storyworthy.
Next week on Storyworthy, we have singer-songwriter Allie Gertz.
I celebrated my 21st birthday and had my first drink ever. Bad idea.
Next week on Storyworthy. And we're back. We've actually traveled to the University of Massachusetts Amherst, the alma mater of our guest, Dana Gould. And we're at the Dana Gould Communications Center. It's an entire building that he has funded. Okay, it's just in the planning stages. Right now, it's a dirt vacant lot. But someday, the name Dana Gould will shine above this building.
You know what, Hannes? I don't doubt that.
No, I don't doubt it at all.
Hey, before we bring our storyteller on, I did want to mention our new sponsor, Bezo.com.
Tell me about it.
Well, Bezo.com is a site that is devoted to shopping. Now, they don't actually sell anything. They just organize everything you would ever want in one place so that you can compare pieces and prices.
You mean like clothes and shoes and gifts and that
exactly.
kind of thing?
Exactly.
So I don't have to wander around the mall like some kind of maniac. That's awesome, but how do they know what I want?
Well, what you do is you put in your own style persona. Oh. So it could be like classic or preppy, bohemian, romantic feminine.
That's me, romantic feminine.
And then basically they act as your personal shopper.
That is awesome. How do you spell this site?
Bezo.com, Bezo.com. You guys are going to love it.
Bezo.com.
All right, you guys, he's here right now. Dana Gould, he is a writer, a comedian, a voiceover artist, and actor whose credits are crazy talk. Currently, Dana has his own podcast, The Dana Gould Hour, which is produced beautifully, I must say. Have you heard Dana's podcast?
I have. I listened to it recently. It was 2 hours and 6 minutes. I was a little confused.
But they're not all like that. Most of his shows are like 1 hour, 6 hour, 10 hour, 12. Recently, you're talking about the marriage one, love and marriage one?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was a little longer.
So if you're having a bomb like timer set, don't ask Dana Gould. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, because it's not the Dana Gould Hour after
right, exactly.
All. It's
exactly.
not that.
Oh, we're all going to, right. Dana
has worked with Conan O'Brien, Adam Carolla, Bill Maher, Dave Koechner. Let's just drop names. Patton Oswalt, Jerry Seinfeld.
Dave Koechner, he's been on the show.
On and on. Dana, he also wrote for The Simpsons for 7 years, for goodness Woo-hoo. Sake. And you know, he's one of 6 children, just like me. You can follow him on Twitter at Dana J. Gould. Also, you can go to his website, danagould.com. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Dana Gould.
When I was a kid growing up in Hopedale, Massachusetts, the one thing that I loved more than anything was horror movies. I was passionate about them. All my friends when they were kids wanted to be Carly Ostrzemski or Bobby Orr. I wanted to be the Wolfman. It actually spoke to my deep shame and guilt, which is what the Wolfman is all about. You wake up in the morning with dirty, bloody clothes, and you did something the night before that you can't remember. I can relate. Then I got older, and I became a comedian, and I discovered the beautiful horror movie comedy hybrid that is Plan 9 from Outer Space. And Plan 9 from Outer Space quickly rocketed to the top of my favorite movie list. If you have never seen it, I could describe it only to you as a bukkake of euphoria. The most compelling character in Plan 9 from Outer Space, note I did not say the funniest, that I would reserve for either Tor Johnson, who has the most lines in the movie and yet speaks English the worst of any of the actors in the movie, or Dudley Manlove, who has the great line, you see, your stupid minds, stupid, stupid. But the character that I really was obsessed with was Vampyra. She was certainly my feminine ideal. And I just found her very fascinating. My mother would reference Vampyra when I was a kid, and I never knew what she was talking about. So as I became more interested in it, I did some research, and I learned all these things, that Vampyra was actually the very first person to host horror movies. And she started in Los Angeles in 1954. And the show was a local show, but it gained national attention within 2 months of her appearing on, I believe, KCET. She was in Life magazine, Time magazine, Newsweek magazine. She was a national phenomena, became best friends with James Dean, and was quite the overnight sensation. Show ran for 2 years, the stardom that she thought she was going to embrace never actually happened. In 1994, when Tim Burton made the film Ed Wood, in which Vampira is depicted, I met someone that knew her. Her name is Myla Nurmi, and she lived in a little house off of Melrose on Houston. And I wanted to interview her I wanted to do a documentary about horror movie hosts, because I thought actually that is the one job for which I'm actually qualified. Everything else I've just been kind of sneaking around, waiting to get discovered that I'm a phony. But hosting horror movies I could do. So she didn't have a telephone, and I wrote her a letter, and our mutual friend Carol gave it to her, and she responded, and I said, I wanted to interview you on the show, and it's a documentary, and I gave her an honorarium, which I think is what got her out of the house. And I interviewed her. You can see that interview on my website, on the video page, danagould.com, or on YouTube. And we became very good friends. I wrote her a thank you letter. She wrote me back. Again, she didn't have a phone. I wrote her back. I took her to lunch. Took her to another lunch. And we became very, very, very good friends. She was really funny. She was really dark. She would say things like, everyone thinks of Orson Welles as the cinematic genius, but to me, he'll always be the guy that gave me the clap on a USO tour in 1943. Really funny, really great. And over the years, she had no children. She was divorced in 1954. And her sort of social support group fell away. And I slowly became... I helped her out throughout the rest of her life. As I became an adult, I got married. When I met Myla, I was just a single guy working, and then I met my girlfriend, who became my wife, or as I like to call her, my ex-girlfriend. We had kids. I got my job in The Simpsons. And then I was like a real adult. Had a job, had a wife and kids and a mortgage. And I was like a real grown-up. And one day I got a letter from Myla that said, my house where I live is being gentrified and I'm being evicted. And I need to move. And which meant... I was going to do it. Unfortunately, at that time, the one luxury I didn't have was time. I had a baby and a date and a full-time job. But obviously, I needed to help my friend. So I went to the store in North Hollywood called Halloween Town. And one of the reasons I live in Los Angeles is because it has a Halloween store that's open all year. I'm not kidding. I love that. I really love that. I'm glad it's there. When I get stressed out, I go there and I just look at stuff and touch it. It soothes me. And at Halloween Town, they sell Vampira t-shirts. So I walked up to the register and I pointed to the Vampira t-shirt and I said, do you know anybody that I could pay to help me help the woman on that shirt find an apartment? And they said, yes, without flinching, as if my coming was predicted in their ancient texts. So they said, you really should meet my friends, Matt and Gabby. They love Vampira. So I knew the woman that owned the store. So set up a meeting, and I go to this little diner where I'm going to meet these people. And in comes a young guy who looks like a young Alice Cooper, covered in tats, dyed black hair, you know, the whole goth rock look that Milo sort of patented. And his girlfriend, who's a very beautiful young lady, who looked like a beautiful young lady going to a Halloween party as a young Alice Cooper. Matt and Gab sat down, and they talked about how much, they loved Myla. And I said, you know, my sort of told them my story. And together, Matt and Gabby, my personal goth army, we set out to find her a place to live, which was not easy when you were looking for a ground floor apartment for a woman in her late 70s on a fixed income with a dog and a cat who needs to live within 2 to 3 blocks of a supermarket that doesn't require her to cross a street with more than 2 lanes. Yeah. And we really pounded the pavement, and they did an amazing job. And we found her a beautiful bungalow, one of the few remaining bungalow courts in Hollywood. And we found her a bungalow court. And as we were helping her move, we kept finding money that she had forgotten she had stashed away. So at the end of the day, we're moving her into this bungalow. We found like $2,000 that she didn't know she had. And I'm standing in her bungalow and she's moving in, and she's literally close to weeping. She's so overwhelmed and happy. And I'm looking out the window and I just think, this was good. This was a good day. This was a good thing. And literally as I'm thinking that, I hear, ow, 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 ow. And I turn around to see that Myla's dog had bitten Gabby on the breast. So the day ended at Cedars with what I'd never seen before was a weird pump that they used to remove dog saliva from a puncture wound on your boob. But I stayed friends with Matt and Gab, and over the years, Matt was a musician, and at the time, he was in a band called Wednesday 13, and you know, we would have lunch, and we just were friends. We loved horror movies. We had our friend in common, and then he became the bassist for Rob Zombie's band, and he had the professional name of Piggy Demon. And once he got into Rob's band, that really came to the fore, and he became kind of famous. And that's why I am to this day proud to say I am very good friends with Piggy Demon.
Spectacular.
Great story.
Yes.
Now, is Myla alive?
No.
And when did she pass away?
She passed away in, I believe, February of 2009.
So just a few years ago.
Yes, a few years ago.
She was in her mid-80s.
She was 84.
And, was she still in the same place?
Yes, she was. And I remember I was, let's do the math. She was, I think it was 2009 or 2010. There's no snow here, so I can't gauge years.
I know.
It all just
until
blurs
I had
together.
A child, I didn't even know if there was like school was happening or not. Yeah, I don't know about holidays. I know nothing.
Yeah.
I completely relate.
Yeah.
She passed, and I was on the phone with, there's two funny stories about it. Two funny stories about this sad passing. I was the sort of the contact person.
She had no family.
Well, we didn't know, but she had a niece that lived in Oregon who we discovered after she died, who I then met. But she wasn't close with her family at all. So. But I remember talking to the LA County Coroner's office, and kind of getting stuff straightened out and working with the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And the guy at the coroner's office said, she lived till she was 84. She died in her sleep. She got the dream.
Yeah.
You have very strange goals.
Living and dying the dream. Yeah. Hollywood Forever Cemetery, that's a wonderful place.
Yeah, she's interred right next to Darren McGavin, the Night Stalker.
Ah, Darren McGavin, the Night Stalker. Now, I love that. Cool shack.
Right.
Did she make that choice or was that pre-planned or how did that happen?
No, that was me.
There's you the horror that. Movie yeah. section of you're buried by genre.
Yeah, she's very
in Hollywood.
She wanted
can I just
to be,
say that?
And I thought she deserved it.
I love the idea that this is one of the reasons that you live in Hollywood. It's like you walked into a store and you said, I know the woman on that shirt, and nobody thinks that that's weird.
Yeah.
They're like, well, of course you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure dozens of people know the people on all of our. It's awesome. It's so fantastic.
It's so beautiful. And what a neat way to meet a new friend. I mean, it was truly spontaneous.
Yes.
And then those people come into your life and you're accepting that it's Alice Cooper and his girlfriend, Alice Cooper. Yeah. And that's all good.
Yeah, they're great. They're still friends.
Interestingly enough, now this is a magic or a Halloween shop in the Valley. But
yeah,
you've been
still
to
there. I pass it by every day.
But you've been to Hollywood Toy and Magic, right?
Oh, sure.
Because that's terrific.
Yes. Well, oddly, Carol Hernandez, who was the person that introduced me to Mila, worked at Hollywood Book and Poster, which is right next door to Hollywood Toy and Costume.
Well, it's interesting that you say that you like the Halloween aspect because all of LA is really man-made, if you think about it.
Yes.
And it's a desert. There are no palm trees that are indigenous. And nothing's
That's
indigenous.
True. That's a great thing about LA that not a lot of people know, that palm trees are
High
not
five,
indigenous.
High five, Dana Gould.
Yeah, I knew that.
They're
too.
All but brought in to sell real estate.
Yeah, there was nothing. There was just, it's just empty space and you can grow anything. And they went, great, we'll make this our signature.
And it's
they
actually...
Every palm tree you see in this town was trucked in.
That's right. And it's actually one of the only places in the world where the ocean meets... Where the desert meets the sea.
This is one of those. You know,
no,
I hate
true.
That commercial.
I know that.
I know you can surf and ski in the same day.
There's a
and
place
I always
in
say,
Africa.
Whoever did that?
I did that. I had that place in Big Bear. Remember?
Yeah.
And then I did for one day. We just went from
just
Big Bear
so
to
you could say you
to
did
we could
it.
Do exactly right.
So that's you could say you could
2 hours
it.
And 1 minute. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I just made that up.
Can I just? Well, I just want to say this is a very weird. This is on my, you mentioned the Wolfman being very important to you. So I
played the Wolfman.
You played the Wolfman. Okay, I can tell that the Wolfman's important to you because I'm like looking at your Simpsons stuff on Wikipedia, and it says one of the episodes that you wrote about adopting Chinese babies, which I believe you have, you are credited as Lawrence Talbert.
Yes.
Who is
the
Wolfman.
Wow.
I know. I am full of useless information.
Great
though.
That's reference,
great. Hannes. That's great. That's a great pull. The reason
that's what she said. I'm sorry.
That's if she said it. She well, never mind. That's what I said because if she's there. There should be no reason for pulling.
I know why I never got married.
Dirty,
filth.
I'm sorry. Go
ahead. We were getting. I wrote an episode of The Simpsons about. The family's trip to China to adopt a baby for Marge's sister, Selma.
Right.
And I based it on my experiences going to China to adopt my oldest daughter.
How did you choose China?
My wife had read a book called The Lost Daughters of China, which is about the one-child policy. And, you know, she was like, I really think that instead of biological children, we should adopt a girl from China. And my theory was, I hate myself enough. I don't need to see a smaller version of me shit my pants.
I see.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so then we didn't want to have one child. So we thought, well, you want to do something else? Like we talked about, maybe we get a kid from Africa and then maybe we'll get a kid from Brazil.
Yeah, like
the
Hollywood after all.
The U.N.
Jolie Pitts.
But then we thought, well, we know everybody from China and it might be good if they have a shared experience. So when they're older and they go through those searching questions, they have each other. So we went back to China and we were just getting ready to leave to go on our second trip to adopt our second daughter when the Simpsons episode was getting ready to air. And I was afraid that they were going to see it.
Wow.
And give us like a lobster. No, that's your baby. No, this is clearly a lobster. No. Funny episode. Because the first...
It could have happened. That could
have
happened.
It does say it is banned in China, the episode. No,
is it really?
Yeah, it says at the bottom it's banned in China because you talked about Tiananmen Square.
Yes.
And
way to go, Dana.
Tongue. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. There's a couple of weird things that happen. When we were over there the first time, our friends that were with us in the group just were sending photos back to America of their baby to their friends. And in one of the photos, the baby was naked in the tub and he was just giving her a bath. And that photo didn't make it.
Yeah. Interesting. I have a niece that was adopted.
They literally were just like, yeah, literally
like
somebody
Facebook.
Was,
they're like, there. No, nudity, yeah, we can't have that.
But literally checking the photos you're sending back before they get them onto the server.
Let me ask you this. I have four older sisters. I know you have four older brothers, right?
Yes.
And I have four, and I also have a brother as well. But so now you've got all these girls.
Yeah.
So how, because they're getting, I don't know how old they are, but
3, 8, and 10.
Okay, 10. So now they're getting up to the age of puberty. And I'm just thinking about like my house because there were five girls. And
please
it was
don't
just,
say
it
this.
Was just full of maxi pads. It was a mess.
Oh, good
but
Lord.
Like since you grew up with all brothers, I mean, how is this going to come about? How are you going to tell these kids? Do you have any thoughts about explaining sex to three girls?
I have never given it a thought until just now.
Yeah.
And now I'm so depressed.
Are you scared?
Oh, now I am.
Well, I think about how I'm going to tell my daughter about menstruation. Well,
I just think you're dying.
That? Yeah, I know.
Your blood's coming out.
Every month you're going to,
What did you say?
Don't you love Jesus?
What did you do
You
now?
Must have done something terrible.
You're like Piper Laurie in Carrie. Yeah. You're like that.
No, but listen, dirty since pillows. You're one of six kids, like, because I know me, like, I was the youngest, so everything went past me. I mean, if I was on fire, maybe I got attention, but otherwise.
That is exactly what I say.
I never got attention.
That is exactly what I said. That is exactly my case. I often have said, that's so funny. If I was not on fire and not making any noise, I was fine.
Me too. So
and I basically grew up unsupervised.
Me too.
Yeah, we want to raise somebody to be in show business. We're going to ignore them.
That was me.
So you were the baby.
I'm the youngest. But did you get a sex talk? Like, did anybody ever say to you, hey, Dana, listen, you know, this is
I can do my sex talk in actual time. We were walking home from school. I was in second grade. We were talking about where babies came from. I had the very intelligent opinion that when the man and the woman had sex, which I didn't know what it was, that was a baby.
Mm.
And when they, quote, had a blowjob, unquote, which I also did not know what it was, that was a retarded baby.
And that's true.
Yeah. And I went home and my mother was vacuuming and I asked her where babies came from. And she said, daddy puts his thing in mommy's thing. And she pointed to her crotch and I thought she meant the vacuum cleaner. No. And
the
that
Hoover,
was it.
And that's how you refer to it as Hoover.
And that's why to this day I fuck my vacuum cleaner.
Using that voice of Dyson.
And the attachment.
You've got such great suction.
You dirt devil, you.
You mean the voice of Gex, I would think.
Gex, I'm sorry. Gex. Yes, Gex. Tell us about Gex. For a second,
it was a video game in the 90s that has a crazy cult following.
Could you get to your level?
I never played it.
Oh, I see.
That's my what level I like
is,
to hear.
My level's pretty low.
You know, can I just say that is a very weird, like that's a level of nerdiness, but like The Simpsons is like several different kinds of nerdiness all coming together. Because, I'm relying heavily on Wikipedia today, but somebody wrote one of the other episodes you wrote, it's a very elaborate, detailed plot summary, and it says the chimpanzee pulls Bart into her cage.
Oh yeah,
although Bart should not actually fit through the bars. That's what they wrote. They're indignant. Like that's your logic problem.
Bart has two mommies.
Yeah, Bart is choked to death every day, but that doesn't bother
this
you.
This is the problem.
Homer was an astronaut. That doesn't bother you.
There's a long string on Ain't It Cool that says the reason The Simpsons is no good anymore is because of Dana Gould.
Oh, no. Oh, I gotta look that up.
I could trace the decline in quality to the day Dana Gould showed up.
But
it's giving me a lot of credit.
Oh, you wrote during season 4, the monorail episode.
No, I did not write that, but I cited that as my favorite episode.
Monorail is one of my favorite
episodes.
That was
episodes. Written by Conan.
Was that right?
Conan fucking O'Brien wrote that. Can you believe
it?
Monorail.
Because I love the
monorail.
The ring fell off my pudding can.
Use my penknife, my good man.
Right. Monorail. Sorry, Mom. The mob has spoken.
Right. And so now you're not even 50 years old yet. You've had a lot of accomplishments. But do you have any more specific goals? You are a born entertainer. You want to entertain. Right?
I was born, born in a little town called Vaudeville, USA.
In other words, if you're not satisfied writing on The Simpsons,
Dana and his three Chinese daughters. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I still have goals. I've actually this year I find myself doing a lot of acting, which I'm very proud of, because I will say this. I'm a comedian and I do other stuff, but I'm a comedian. I'm not an actor. I'm a comedian who does some acting. I'm not a writer.
Right.
I'm a comedian who also writes. But I'm a comedian. That's what I do. And I'm fine with that. Steve Martin is not a novelist. Steve Martin is a comedian who's written some novels.
I love his books, I will say.
but he's a comedian. Yes. He's Steve Martin.
That's why the books are selling.
Yeah, exactly. Because nobody would buy Steve Martin's book if he wasn't Steve Martin.
Right.
And that's fine. That's great. And that's a lesson that I learned but when I was on The Simpsons after about 5 years and I really didn't, I just couldn't perform as much as I wanted to because I was just, I was working all day and I had babies and I was tired, they would go I once went 6 weeks without going on stage. And then, I would go up at Largo on a Tuesday and I would just feel so rusty and out of it. And it really depressed me. It really ate away at something because I really identify, and a lot of my self-esteem is wrapped up in what I do.
And the immediate response.
The immediate response, I'm false modesty aside, I'm a very good stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And when I do well, I feel like, yes, I'm doing what I do.
Right.
This is what I do.
Right.
You have to do what you do.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because I've had some other careers in my life and I was very good at them. But it doesn't mean that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right. You're not Christine, I'm a flight attendant, and then everything else. Hear
me out.
Yes.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef?
Right.
You see
good
me?
Work.
Like, that's I play it well.
Chicken
and
or
I,
beef.
And I would told, say that to
you
the
You once win- told Pete Rose to go fuck himself.
That's true. That's pretty a true awesome. Story. But I would say to the person in the window seat, chicken or beef? And then they would say, chicken. And then I would say to the person in the middle seat, and what would you like? And then they would say, what do you have? And I would say, chicken or beef? And they would say, I'll have the chicken. And then the third person, what would you like? Well, what do you have? Well, we're out of the chicken. You know what I mean?
Because these two guys just took it.
I think that's
what
good
airline?
Information. It was called US Air at the time.
I remember US Air.
Now it's called US Air because Boston. And you know what's interesting, Dana, is I knew after 9/11, I remember seeing what was going on television, and I remember thinking, I'll bet you any money they came out of Boston, and they did.
Just because that airport is so...
Because Boston was so fucked. They had no security as a flight attendant and crew member. You would walk in one door, and it was almost like going down a hotel wall. You just... walk in one door and then just completely bypass security and walk out the other door. Like there was never any question. It was like, hey, my buddy's Dana's with me. Okay, go ahead. And like nobody even, you wouldn't even say that to anybody. You would just come with me in one door and then we would bypass security and go out the other door.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was super crazy. But Boston was one of our hubs.
Yes, no, I remember I flew in USA.
How about that? Is it true that you still drive an old Volvo?
I do. It's parked outside.
I
drive a 92. 240
God, that's
that I
hot.
Bought in 95.
I'm sorry. I drive a 1988 240.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
You like the style. You're a shoebox.
48 years old, three kids, 20-year-old car.
Right.
Equals avalanche of pussy. Let's be honest.
I can testify to that.
It's just an unending parade of ladies.
Would you like to play a little Shotgun Storyworthy?
Sure.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy,
the game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy wheel of truth and tell a true 1 minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
Please don't be virginity.
Oh, please be virginity. Please.
No, I don't have a good story. It was sad. Growing up. That's pretty good for me. When I was growing up in my small town of Hopedale, Massachusetts, my oldest brother was one of the policemen in town. And he became a policeman when he was successfully broke up a bar fight that my father had with two 18-year-olds. And he beat up a guy so bad, the guy got his lung punctured by his rib. And my brother was cited with assault, became friends with the chief of police, who made sure his file was wiped and sponsored him to go into the police academy. And then one night, he was sitting in the cruiser in Hopedale, Massachusetts, and he hears this call from the neighboring town, Milford, Massachusetts. Hopedale PD, Hopedale PD, be on the lookout for an olive green 1968 Ford Mustang. It has run running red lights, come through Mendon. It is heading down through downtown Milford, running red lights, headed down through Route 16. Hopedale PD, over. My brother gets on the car. Hopedale PD, intercepting at Route 16 and Nielsen Way, over. And he clicks off the radio and thinks, I have an olive green Mustang. And as the headlights crest the street, down the hill comes our other brother in his car. And my brother had to get on the police and go, I've lost him. I can't find him. Because he would have had to pull over his own car and arrest his brother.
God bless America. Yes, that is a Springsteen song.
It is a Springsteen song.
He was low through
Highway Patrolman. Yeah, it is a Springsteen song.
And you grew up in a big Catholic family.
Yes, I did.
Same way. Do you still do that Catholic thing?
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, in fact, I've had a I have a hard time accessing the concept of.
Me too.
A deity.
Yeah, me too. And I'm going back to Pittsburgh in a few weeks to see my parents because my dad's getting older and my mom.
I've been on the incline.
Oh, sure. The Monongahela, the Allegheny forms the Ohio. Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Yeah.
My mother is so Catholic, and I...
Catholic is she?
Well, she's got a lot... You know, I'm anxious to hear about her new thoughts on the new pope. That's all.
Ah, okay.
Have they picked the new pope?
They haven't, but Frank Conniff tweeted, protecting pedophiles is a young man's game.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, Joe Slepsky, our helping producer, said when he came in, he's like, did you hear about the fake cardinal? Did you hear about this? It was a guy dressed as a cardinal crashing the College of Cardinals.
What was it?
The crucifix was like 2 inches too high, and that's how they figured out and threw him out. And it's like, wow, really? That you guys are right on. Wait a minute, a fake cardinal. There's a guy blowing the priest. They don't see a thing, but a guy with a crucifix.
Let it go. Whatever.
Sure.
I tweeted right now. A lot of guys up for the new pope are doing sermons and doing their hairbrush in their bathroom mirror.
That's right. That's exactly what they're doing.
Waiting for the phone to ring.
Now, let me ask you, Dana, two more things. One is, you love horror movies. You still do.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I do.
Would that be something that you independently might want to, you know, do? I mean, you have your own...
Yeah, I have an idea. I have an idea for our horror movie that I would like to write and make. And I just love that world. It gives me a lot of pleasure.
But what about, like, just intros and outros around
it? I would totally do that.
Yeah.
Like, I would do that If Turner Classic Movies came to me and said, we want you to be whatever you're, you know.
But they might not come to you. You pitch that to them, right?
Yeah, well,
I've
listen,
done it.
I killed The Simpsons. I know horror.
I know how to do it.
Don't check on.
In a New York Minute.
In Pittsburgh, we had a show called the Chili Billy Show.
Yeah, sure. Chili Billy, yeah.
So scary.
No, I've had meetings about Chili Billy.
Is that true?
Yeah, I have.
My parents would go bowling on Saturday nights and we'd stay home and watch Chili Billy.
Do you know Jimmy Miller?
Shit out of me. Do I? Well, no. Jimmy Miller is Dennis's brother and he's a manager in LA.
Yes, and he's obsessed with Chili Billy.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's true.
I do know him from, I don't know him personally, but I know him from Pittsburgh.
He has a nice client list.
Yeah, oh, he sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let me ask you this. You have been seen on the very popular Puddin, the YouTube channel called Puddin.
Yes.
And you've been on Puddin. It's a live action comic strip.
Yes.
By Matt Oswald. And you have appeared on this show. And what do you think of that, Puddin?
I think it's vile. I'm not proud of my participation in that.
Right. No. But I love vile.
I think this can all be brought down to one man.
But I love vile. Don't you love vile?
And there I goes said Matt that Oswald. Because Matt Oswald's 20 feet from me. I think they're hilarious and great. And, you know, I'm in them with like Steven Weber and Colin Hanks and Eddie Pepitone.
And that's what I was going to say. There's a Puddin episode with you and you were in a tent. And I believe the tent is from IKEA.
With Robin.
With Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So this is what you're doing in your spare time. You're going?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
more importantly, this is what
crouched in a tent with Robin Williams, and that is a testament to what a trooper Robin Williams is.
Yeah,
no, really, he is the greatest. I've known him for a long time. I can't say enough.
Is that right?
Yes. I know that he is. He became sober a couple of years ago, or he's walking around saying,
"I've known him."
Has his personality changed, or do you seem about the same guy?
I've known him since 1986, and he's definitely a lot more grounded now than he was. In all the time that I've known him, and I knew him at the peak of his fame, and power, and when he could have been a complete aloof.
Yeah.
And he's always profoundly down to earth, incredibly decent, does not have a mean bone in his body.
And it sounds like he's always willing to try something new.
He's always willing to
go
do
for
everything.
It.
I was in a movie with him called Father's Day, Remain Seated, Don't Treat Me Any Differently. and we were just outside the stage waiting to get called in, and a tour bus literally came by.
Yeah.
And those tours go through these lots and they don't really see.
Well, this was
stars.
A Universal then.
This was a Warner Brothers.
Oh, Warner Brothers.
It was like a private tour. And they saw a real movie star. They saw Robin.
Sure.
And they went bananas. And Robin went over there and just gave everybody their moment, spent time with everybody.
That's a
posed
pro, man.
For like 40. Yeah, that's a pro. That's how you do it.
That is. That's exactly right. Well, good for him. And he continues to have such a lengthy career. I mean, he does all his comedy, and then he does all the serious films, and then he just keeps at it. And then he's on Puddin'.
He may not be at the height of his feet, but he's still pretty much up
there. Yeah, and he'll do Puddin', or he'll do like, I'm doing a show March 20th at Largo, me, Bob Goldthwaite, and Eddie Pepitone.
That's terrific, yeah.
And Robin was like, oh, I'm going to try to get down there. I got to get on that. I gotta get on
so
that show.
Awesome.
Like,
yeah.
And you said, listen, we've got three of us already.
Yeah,
Robin.
That's a big
We don't
show.
Have room for somebody like you to hone in. I just have to ask this because I'm a
but
Seinfeld
But he's like a musician.
Nut.
He wants to jam. He wants to play.
Yeah, no. I know. I'm a Seinfeld nut. And
okay.
Any of our guests who have been at Seinfeld, I have to ask them about it. So you were on Seinfeld as...
I was.
He played Summer George.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
And
he was
Jerry Van.
I was Fragile Frankie Merman.
That's right. And you... Well, I remember, if you got upset, you would dig a hole
and
sit
hide
in it.
Yes.
So you buried a hole in Central Park.
I dug a hole in Central Park and hid in it because I gave Jerry a van that Jerry ended up not wanting. And
I don't want to be a van guy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And see, that's the difference between saying something funny or saying something
guy.
Funny or saying words. I fucked up that saying. But
I know
you're saying,
what you're saying.
The joke is not... I don't want to be a van. That's not a joke. When Jerry Seinfeld says it,
now it's
fucking
funny.
Hilarious.
Of
and
course.
The funny, Jerry and I are, again, neither Jerry nor I are actors. We are comedians who do some acting.
Yeah.
And we had a scene in the van and we're having this talk and we're like, I know how to hit my line to get a laugh. Jerry knows how to hit his line to get a laugh. And the director was like, no, guys, because we were both like performing it.
You're alone in a van and you're like, this is amazing.
Yeah, but he was right. We were
talking
performing,
to each other.
We weren't behaving. We were performing, we weren't behaving, and he wanted us to behave.
They should have written a scene where you guys had like a tearful like memory of being molested or something at the summer camp and you had to really emote. That would
have been awesome.
Just
done
to watch
that.
Her squirm.
But it was very strange because Jerry goes, I know how to say this to get a laugh. And I'm like, I know, I do too.
But that's not what we're going for.
I know.
And we got to wrap this up. But let me ask you, you do have your own podcast, The Dana Gold Hour.
Yeah, it's never been an hour.
You like the podcast. What do you think about the podcasting?
As Frank Conniff says, the era of busting your ass for free is in high dudgeon.
Yes.
But I enjoy, I like... I really love the ones that are great and that have a unique side of sensibility. This one is high on that list. I try to make mine a little different. I didn't want to just
do my version.
Oh,
it's so beautifully produced. Your show is no, it is. It's really fun. You've got these little beats and a little jazz thing goes on. And
yeah,
it's very sweet.
It's sort of like I was influenced very heavily, although there's no real connection between the shows, by Joe Frank from KCRW, not Joe Franklin.
Yes.
And just in the
he
way
he talked like this,
he talked like this. He still does. And he would tell these stories, and then he would tell one story, and then there'd be music, and then he would tell another story.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And then there'd
yeah.
be music, and then he would go back to the first story. And then I thought, I'd like to do that with conversations, where I'll have two interviews on a common theme, and then I'll move back and forth between them. And as the interview, as the stories diverge,
yeah.
before you know it, now you're interweaving. We're talking about Ralph's supermarket, yeah. and in this conversation we're talking about Beneath the Planet of the Apes, but we're going to keep moving them back forth.
Well, I'm
as
sorry.
Charlie Rose would say, it's the art of conversation.
Yeah, well, what I like about it is you skip all the like intros and little outros. You just go right to points. It's like an in yeah. and out, but you hit it. Like it goes right into the conversation.
There's no fat.
There's no fat.
No fat.
Honest, we have too much fat. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow, that's mean, because you're skinny and I'm fat. So I'm taking that as a direct.
It's
so,
all,
and Joe is out the door.
It's
wait,
all,
he can't fit. He can't get out the door, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hey, listen, before we wrap this up, and I keep saying that, I know. Who's your favorite Simpsons character?
Mo, Sislak.
Honest?
Oh, I got to say Homer. Because
really?
I've always, because I sort of, when I was young, I was like, I'm going to grow up to be Homer. And then I grew up to be Homer, and now I'm older than Homer.
Mm.
But I'm still,
I'll tell you a funny inside baseball story about Homer's personality.
Please.
Off the air.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on, really?
Can't do it.
Okay, but wait, you know what? I'm sorry, but there's one more, because, please, Huell, please.
Huell Hauser.
Can just say something, anything as Huell Hauser.
Well, right now, Huell has left us.
Huell has left us.
Not the dead Huell Hauser, the when
Huell's
he was
in heaven.
I liked Huell Hauser.
Huell's
in
heaven now, and he's like seeing like Abe Lincoln and John Lennon like on a bench, and he's going, I saw a guy on a unicycle. That's amazing. Did you want to ask me any questions, Huell? I am Abe Lincoln. Now, who would ride a unicycle? It's so much harder with one wheel. Missing the whole point of heaven.
Oh, that is so great.
Jackie Kennedy is over there with Jack Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe. They seem to be having a fight. You know who I want to meet? The guy who invented the box spring. Because you only think about mattresses, never the box spring. But the box spring is important.
It's the centrifuge of the back.
It is. It's the fulcrum upon which your back rests.
Hey, wait a minute. Now we got to go to Larry King, because he's one of my idols. I love Larry King.
Larry King. I saw Larry King at the Grove recently wearing a leather jacket that looked so heavy on him, I thought it was going to pile drive him through the concrete.
But he had on his jeans, and they're always high up.
Iron jeans.
And his jeans, they have creases.
Yeah.
And they're really high up, and he's like 6'5".
He's turning,
a tall man.
He is tall, and he is turning into Zorak from Space Ghost. He really does look like a praying mantis.
I love Larry King.
I have one Larry King story, which is I used to work at a stupid job in the CNN building. And I'm coming down the elevator, and it opens on the fifth floor, and there's Larry King, and the entire elevator looks at him, and he looks at the elevator, and he goes, hello! It was like, thank you, Larry King, thank you, thank you, my entire month is made. That was, and then he was like, that's it.
My brother Kevin was visiting me, and we went to, it was really a bizarre night, we went to Dan Tana's with Mike Murphy, if you know who Mike Murphy is.
The comedian?
He's a Republican strategist that's a commentator on Meet the Press.
Yeah, I have a vague idea who that is.
My brother's a Republican, so I had to find a Republican. He could feel comfortable. And so I'm friends with Mike, so I said, Mike, please talk to my brother so you guys can talk about supply-side economics and feel better.
And there's only a few people in L.A. to draw from.
Yeah, Mike's the greatest guy ever.
Good.
My brother went into the men's room, and he comes out and he goes, I just pissed next to Larry King. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah, I walked in there and I'm taking a piss and I look over and there's Larry King. I just started laughing.
Oh, man. You know, Dan Tana's is a great place for star sightings.
Yeah, Dan Tana's is great.
One time I was in there, George Clooney was in the one room, and then we went in the other room for dinner and freaking Johnny Depp was there.
Wow.
Wow, that was
you
a big night.
You orgasmed, did you not?
Honest, why do you not see? Now look, we got a professional here,
dirty?
David Gould. No, we have a professional here, and then you got to bring it down, man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Here's my theory on the female orgasm. I'll believe it when I see one.
How long does it take? I don't know.
No woman I've been with has never had one. think it's something like Bigfoot. Somebody tweeted, and I don't know who tweeted this, but it really made me laugh. I can't wait for Tim Burton's next movie, Johnny Depp in a Hat.
Be wacky. Boy, people are so clever on Twitter, aren't they?
They do. I enjoy the Twitter a lot.
So do I. You can find Dana Gould at Dana J. Gould. I believe that stands for John.
It does.
Dana Gould. Dana John Gould.
Yes.
Also, you can go to danagould.com, of course. We do got to wrap this up. Man, I can't tell you how thankful
thank
we are.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for coming all the way to Amherst.
We do really appreciate it. And would also like to thank Jorge Reyes. He's a sound engineer here on the show. And of course, John Thomas Griffith. He wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Never heard of him.
And of course, Joe Slepsky. He helps us out every darn Woo! Week. And on behalf of Dana Gould and of course you, Hannes, my dear friend Woo! And co-host,
yes.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.